Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today I am on the road and in the studio, WeatherWorks, with CEO and Chief Meteorologist Frank Lombardo. Frank, welcome to the show.
Howdy.
Now, Frank, you know, you and I go way back and we filmed the upcoming documentary. You were part of that, and that's in post-production, so people will see who you are very shortly.
My face?
Your face.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
It's better than we can do here, right?
Yes. Now, in WeatherWorks here, I call it Command Central, because when I walk in to your offices and you're looking at these huge screens with all the meteorology information going on, tell me about what it's like in here.
Well, you know, today's a quiet day. If you were here on March 13th this year, we had a snow and sleet storm that covered the Northeast, and you would see you would hear nonstop phones ringing. There are 25 meteorologists, each of them in front of three monitors, each of them covering a certain geographic area of the country, with a list of clients that they need to contact. So, it is a command center, definitely, on a day like that. Now, today we're playing wiffle ball. It's a nice day, you know. But typically, we are monitoring weather for police departments, highway departments, professional football teams, school districts, et cetera. And that's what we're doing. And you know, the weather never stops. People go, well, when do you guys go home? Well, they, you know, some go home, but some always stay. This is a 24/7 operation. So, 365 days a year.
That in itself is an amazing thing because, again, as we know, weather outside never stops.
Right.
So your business can't either. And I know that you have people, you know, that are full-time nighttime employees that are doing weather for you.
They are. At least that's what they tell me they're doing. You know? I haven't set up the cameras yet. But yeah, we're monitoring weather in different parts of the country 24 hours a day. And it involves having people here, 2 a.m. at 3 a.m.
Well, since I go to bed at 9,
I
would not be a good employee for you nighttime, but at the 4:30 a.m. mark, then I'd be your man at that.
Yeah, well, you know, before your next fishing trip, you'd call us up at 5 and you'd give us an observation of what's going on. It's interesting because we do have, you know, our clients, because a lot of what we do, or a big focus of what we do, is what we refer to as the snow and ice industry. So the bulk of our clients are snow plowing contractors, again, highway departments. What are they most concerned about? Snow. They're most concerned about snow at 5 a.m, 6 a.m, right before rush hour. So when do they want that information? They want it at 4 a.m,
right.
4:30. So you actually would be pretty good.
I'd be good on
the early shift.
That would work. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So Frank, tell me about your staff. Are they all meteorologists?
Well, we hire primarily... Let me start again. We hire meteorologists out of college. We nurture them. We train them. We find their expertise. And then we help them build a career here. So some of our meteorologists that we've hired have gone into becoming our software developers, for instance. Their education is in meteorology, but their interest crossed over into software developing, and now they produce some of our software products that we market and that we sell and that we use internally. Some had interest in sales and marketing and have become our marketing director across the hall, is a meteorologist who does very little meteorology these days, but does a lot of selling of meteorology, but he understands the science. And when you understand the product, it's easy to market it, or it's easier to market it. And that goes on and on. Our social media director is a meteorologist, our operations manager as a meteorologist, our education director is a meteorologist. So they're all meteorologists. We primarily hire meteorologists. We have support staff, we have a couple other software developers that we've hired that are not meteorologists, but the bulk of who we hire are either bachelor or master degree meteorologists.
And that's a neat thing because, and you know this, is like, you, and you said this, if you're, so to speak, selling a product, you need to know your product, and who's going to know the weather better than a
right.
meteorologist to
exactly.
step out there, whether it happens to be either in social media, whatever it is. But then when you get down to, like you're, in the beginning you were speaking in regard to a snowstorm, when it's major tracking time, and we would probably say winter time, but go into summer storms. When you, how do you, again, and I'll just describe it this way. We have some in the Northeast, there's so many popcorn storms, the storms that just pop up. How do you go about doing those?
Well, again, we have meteorologists that are monitoring specific areas. And we're monitoring areas where there are actually clients. And those geographic areas sometimes are relatively small. It might be just three or four counties in Northeast New Jersey. It could be the entire state of Maryland, or parts of Chicago metro area. So the job, the responsibility of that meteorologist is only to his or her clients in that geographic area. So for instance, one of the things that we do is we monitor lightning for MetLife Stadium. And if there are events at MetLife Stadium, we have meteorologists that continuously monitor any storm that's developing anywhere in Northeast Pennsylvania, New Jersey, South Jersey, and follow its direction. We also follow the growth of the clouds. There are certain algorithms that we use to determine whether or not the cloud will actually produce lightning. And we monitor lightning strikes. If we see lightning strikes with that storm, we convey that information to our client. And there are a number of clients that we do that for in the summertime. So even though to you it may appear that these are just pop-up storms, we're monitoring that storm for a long time. It's pop-up over your house, but that storm may have been around. We may have been following that storm for 2 hours. It may have not produced lightning until it got to your house. But as soon as it does, or as soon as there are signs that it will, we were on the phone with our client, notifying our client, et cetera.
That's cool. That really is. And it adds more to it. It's not just a pop cup. I mean, people call them popcorn storms.
Yeah.
It's just not a popcorn storm. You're tracking it for
the
distance, so to speak.
We're not only tracking, you know, these storms in the summertime, they do develop because of the intense heat and the convection that develops associated with that heat. But there are mechanisms. There's a physical part of the atmosphere that gives us clues to when they'll develop, how they'll develop. We had some yesterday morning that came through. We've had a lot of these in the last 10 days with all the heat that we've had. We have to first understand the science, and then we have to use our analytical ability to forecast, you know, where these are most likely to develop. But if we're watching closely, you know, if you're looking, you'll see it.
Yeah.
You'll see them develop.
Now, when you, for example, you were talking about MetLife Stadium, you convey the information to them, then it's their judgment call. Say it's a huge amount of lightning, it's their judgment call whether they suspend a game or not. That's not a call that you're making, it's a call
that it's a call that they're making, or that the NFL may make if there's a game, or their head of security may make. We've had instances where a Jets game has been held up because of lightning. Then we'll be on the phone with the NFL refs or with the stadium security people and refining that forecast, and they're, until they're comfortable making the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. we won't make the decision for 80,000 people. They're going to have to make that one.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Exactly.
Now, also here at WeatherWorks, you have something that's called Certified Past Weather Reports or Forensic Meteorology. Tell me about, and when I had a tour when we were in here, when we were filming for the documentary, and we walked in there with those meteorologists, tell me about what you do, and I'll just say in that wing of WeatherWorks.
Well, when I started the business, and this is a business that's been ongoing for me since 1986, shortly after starting the business, I was called by an attorney to help with a case involving an auto accident. The auto accident was a death by auto. It involved some slippery roads, etc. And it was my first experience creating a historical document or a forensic document for a legal case. And I realized that, as a businessman and owner of a business, hey, wow, this is a source of revenue. And we've developed a team now of five consulting meteorologists that work in our forensic meteorology department. We produce probably 400 customized reports or forensic reports a year for attorneys. Most of them are in the Northeast, but some are in Colorado and the West Coast and the Deep South. Most involve simple cases like slip and falls, reconstructing when ice may have formed, if ice was in fact a factor in a case that's being argued. I mean, there are times we'll get called into a case that on the surface looks like it's a ice-related case, and then we come in and we see that the temperature had never been below 50 degrees and there was no snow for 3 months and there's no way that there could be ice at this location. So sometimes we actually end up discrediting testimony as opposed to proving facts or supporting facts. But it has become our one of our larger revenue streams for the business. I enjoy it because that particular part of the business, I can do from a beach in Aruba. Okay, I don't need, it's not a 24/7, I just need a computer. And
it's the history of it, right, not the current.
And I'm closer to being 100% accurate when I'm looking back than I'm looking forward. All right, so I've taken a big role in that. Lead forensic meteorologist now a days, his name is Tommy Else, and he's a workhorse. He generates more reports than I could generate in 2 years. I don't know how he gets them all into an 8-hour day, but he is nonstop producing these reports.
Well, it's funny, there was an attorney, and this goes back about maybe about a year or so ago, who had asked me, and I know him very well, and he asked me something in regard to weather, and I said, I'm not the guy, because again, the first thing is, it's like, I'm an environmental scientist, so I can give you an answer, but I'm not going to give you the answer. I said, call WeatherWorks. And then he called me up, because one of my other degrees is in botany, and he goes, I had someone trip over tree roots. I want you to go over to this house and tell me what species of tree.
Did you give him another name?
I just said, I'll go look for you. I said, I'll give you a general thing, but this is not what I do for a living. I film out in the wild. I get to go. Tell people I get to go play. It's like, but just because he's a friend, I decided to. But we did turn him on to WeatherWorks, and he's
the forensic cases are. I enjoy them because I've always, it's that kid in you, that detective in you that comes out. You know, you're trying to solve a problem. You know, why did something occur? And we've had some. One of the more remarkable cases that we've had, remarkable in a silly sense, is I had a woman years ago reach out to me, and she wanted to know, she gave me a list of 7 days and wanted to know if it was windy on those days. And she wouldn't tell me why, and she didn't have any threshold for wind. You know, as a scientist, I'm asking all these very specific questions. Well, what's the criteria of the wind? Do you want it to be over 5 miles an hour, 10? I just want to know if it's windy. I just want to know if it was windy on these nights between 6 and 10 p.m. So I generated a report, and it ended up not being that windy, but there was some wind on a couple of the days, and I find out that the woman was checking up on her husband because he was coming home with his hair messed up. And she was willing to pay for a past weather report to document that. And I said, look, there were windy days, but I don't know all the other details that were involved. But so some of the cases are very bizarre. Some of the requests are very bizarre like that. But if it involves research, we have a team. We have a team of 5 meteorologists that do that. They do that almost all day long. It's really it has been a very profitable part of our business.
And like you said, it brings out, besides the science, it brings out the detective
too. And that's fun.
Yeah, that's a piece of it. Now, you also do things for film and motion pictures. What do you do there?
We do. Basically, we will provide film forecast, and these are strictly weather forecasts for film production companies, whether they're producing commercials or motion pictures or TV series. We will provide them with day-to-day forecasts during their shoots. And most people, when I tell them, they think, okay, they want to know when to shoot because they don't want the equipment wet. That's not always the case. I mean, we had a company shooting, a French company shooting on top of a building in New York with topless models. And they wanted a chilly morning for those topless models. We've had companies shooting in Colorado that wanted snow to be falling. So we have to identify certain parameters in the atmosphere that will fit this particular company's needs on when to go out, basically.
All right, so, and again, you had been out there when we were filming our documentary.
Right,
and we're
right.
Looking, again, ours deals with specific weather parameters, and, you know, chatting with you pre, and then when you came down on the set, and for all the rental of equipment that you have.
Exactly.
And sometimes you're holding a camera with a lens, it's $50,000.
Yeah.
And you are, again, we own some of that gear, but most of that gear we have is rented. And you just have to know that it's going to be like the day. But like you said, there could be someone who wants to film a rainy scene.
Exactly.
Well, they need to know to rent the gear, making sure it's going to be rainy. Like the opposite of what everyone thinks.
We're not always forecasting great weather, and they're not always looking for great weather.
Yeah, that's well said on that. Now, you know, when you watch a typical media station, you're watching a meteorologist on there, and they're predicting weather. The 10-day forecasts are getting better. Are there innovations that have been happening in the last few years with meteorology?
The 10-day forecasts are getting better. There's no doubt about it. The science, the statistics of the science have definitely demonstrated that the 10-day forecasts have improved. I don't think they've improved to the point that my wife thinks they've improved. I mean, you know, it's going to be sunny next Thursday. No, it's not going to be sunny next Thursday. But they have improved. The science, the long-range forecast in meteorology since the late 70s has made some good gains. The short-term forecasts have actually improved better. So there's fewer false alarms, for instance, on a tornado forecast now than there was 5 or 10 years ago. There's fewer false alarms on a severe thunderstorm warning because the new Doppler and what's called now dual pole radar is much more sophisticated short term and provides us with a three-dimensional view of these thunderstorms that were really flat screen, black and white views 15 years ago. The long range forecasts are mostly an improvement on remote sensing. So we have better satellites, for instance, that, and the satellite technology observes the Earth and has increased the amount of observation points on the Earth. So we can tell what water temperature is in the Gulf of Mexico. We can see clouds develop. We can see patterns in the atmosphere develop. And that's helped with modeling the atmosphere. Any long-term forecast depends on the initial analysis. If your input of initial data is good, it will spit out a better product. And we have more data now ingested. We have faster computers that can read that data faster and generate a better long-range forecast. So all the models have gotten better, and we all remember Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, whatever you want to call it, ex-tropical storm Sandy, it had many names. 5 days out, 6 days out, we had a good sense that this storm might threaten the East Coast. 10, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have paid any attention to a six-day forecast. But it's really, the trend in the atmosphere is established a lot better now than it used to. There are weeks it's terrible, but there's definitely been improvement.
Well, you know, it's funny, when a major, I'll say, snowstorm is coming, you'll always hear a meteorologist on television saying, we're waiting for the computer models to generate, and then you've got a European model, an American model, so you have all these different models, and like you're saying, they're all inputting data. And I like what you said is, if the beginning data is good,
right,
then that's going to
lend. And it depends a lot on that. A lot depends on the initialization of the data. And there are times where there's just bad data put in. And there are times where there's data missing. There are gaps in some of the data sources. And you know right away. And there are many models, as you've said. When I started my career in meteorology, there were two very simple computer models, and it was very easy to look at those models, make a decision in 5 minutes. Now there are literally dozens of computer models, and one of the problems that have occurred because of that is that there's always some weather hype that you can find on the internet or on TV. There's always a computer model. Joey, on any snowstorm, if you said to me, Frank, give me the worst case scenario, I could find you a computer model that would give 2 feet of snow in your backyard, but yet the consensus of the models might say 2 to 4 inches. All right, so, and there's always someone that will say, oh, this storm could be a big one. They could all be big ones.
That's the marketing of the storm.
Exactly. That's the hype of the storm. And you know, stay tuned at 11. This could be a big one. Although the data's gotten better, it's created more hype because there are individuals that believe that this data is accurate 7-10 days out or 9 days out. And people are fooled online. And it's a controversial issue within the American Meteorological Society on how to display the data, how to talk about it. There are some individuals that, because there are major decisions that are made sometimes.
Yes, financially, yeah.
And there are cases where meteorologists have looked at hurricane forecasts and have said, you know, in 7 days, a storm might hit Florida. And, you know, not that it causes panic 7 days out, but it's just there's an ethical question that's developing now in our field. You know, how much do we talk about these 7 to 10 day forecasts that are only 60% accurate?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I also have to say this. When you go to a barbecue at someone's house and it's raining, people have to razz you all the time because they expect you to be
I tell them I'm a doctor. MD.
Because they're going, oh, Frank, you're supposed to bring us good weather. What's going on?
Well, even worse than that is when they come to my house for a barbecue and it's raining. Okay. That's even worse.
Now, climate change, and we know obviously there's a lot going on. How has that affected your business in the last, you know, a few years, we'll say?
Climate change is a function of meteorology that is a topic in meteorology that has developed political roots and has become controversial politically. As a scientist and a meteorologist, I have to agree that there has been changes that have occurred in our climate due to warming of the atmosphere. And there's no question that the atmosphere has been warming over the last 150 years. How it's affected short-term weather is fairly insignificant. Okay, so on a day-to-day basis, we still get thunderstorms, we still get snowstorms, it still floods, it still rains. But what I tell clients and what I've told people in the industry or people in the insurance industry we do work for is that companies should have plans put in place for extreme events. Okay, so there should be better preparedness for extreme events like Sandy. I'm not relating the two directly, but if changes continue to occur, what we may see is more droughts or more floods, but they should have contingency plans for extreme weather. And most companies don't really. Most companies, you know, if the electric goes off, they have a contingency plan, but they don't have a plan for this building flooding because it's never flooded before. But there should be a contingency because if the Musconetcong River gets 20 inches of rain, that water may actually make it up here. It won't make it up here with 10 or 8, but it may make it up here with 20 inches. So, and that's one of the things that I don't preach, but I, you know.
No, again, planning is, I think when you were down when we were filming a documentary, my good friend Inspector Dave, the fire inspector, was down there as well. Mm-hmm. And Dave and I, we recorded many shows for Joey B TV or for the Joey B Outdoors. And Dave is always talking about like planning is it and planning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and our mutual great friend, Dr. Michael Bruno. And Dr. Michael is always talking about, for him with climate change, it's looking at the ocean temperatures.
Absolutely.
And they're tracking. And again, as you're saying, forensically, well, then they're going to track that forensically, you know, the ocean temps as well. And you know this, major storms, hurricanes, et cetera, are going to deal directly from those ocean
absolutely
temps rising.
And again, on a day-to-day basis, you can't associate, there's a difference between when we speak about weather and when we speak about climate. And weather is the day-to-day occurrences of rainstorms, thunderstorms, etc. Climate is what happens over a longer period of time. So over a longer period of time, over the next 10, 15 years, will there be an average of more hurricanes that hit the East Coast? Is Sandy not just a 1 in 500 year occurrence, but is it a 1 in 50 year occurrence? Will there be more Sandys in the next 100 years? That's what we have to prepare for, because of changes that are occurring in the climate. Now, not everyone sees more rain or more storms. There are some areas affected with more droughts, et cetera. But those preparations should be made. I did an article for Financial Times of London a couple months ago. In my research, one of the things that I stressed was that if you look at the last 5 years, you see a lot more record high temperatures than you see record low temperatures. Mm-hmm. And the disparity is significant. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, Joey, but there might have been like 9,000 new record highs as opposed to hundreds of new record lows.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, in a particular year or in a particular month. So the trend is definitely warming. But we're all keeping our fingers crossed that the that the damage is climate related. It's not going to be day to day.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is, as you said, because climate is a period of weather over years.
The day to day change, then we'd be on the movie set. Okay.
Yes. Now, if someone wants to know how can they learn about WeatherWorks, what can you tell me?
Well, you can look us up, like us on Facebook, WeatherWorks Inc. You can email us. Our URL is weatherworksinc.com. And look us up online, really.
Because I've been online, prior to coming in, and it's an impressive site, so they can just go to WeatherWorks. I guess it's weatherworks.com, and they can see that as well.
That's right.
All right. Well, Frank, I just want to thank you so much for, I guess, I'm on the road. I'm in your domain here, but I want to thank you.
You're out there in it all the time.
Yeah, so that's my job. Yeah. But yeah, I just want to thank you. Been a great day here, and I'm sure we're going to meet up with a few more meteorologists in a few.
Yep.
All right, and until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.